Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Joining us right now on the radio show, a guy who made his name, became a star with the NFL Network, and then took off and said, you know what, I'm going to fly the coop and do my own thing, baby. Working in Boston now, MMQB, Albert Breer is with us on the radio show. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. We were literally just talking about in the break how many season tickets that Texas has sold. They just announced a school record 63,300 season tickets. I said, you know what, Dick and I have been to that stadium. We went to the Final Four in San Antonio, Went to Austin, and just ran around the field. I said, you know what, that field's great, but the horseshoe is impressive. That thing is gigantic. Yeah. And then you came walking out of my peripheral. Like,
look at that.
And I said, hey, that guy went to Ohio State, and he's right here in Albert Breer, man.
I mean, it looks like the Coliseum, you know what I mean? Like, you go to, you know, the school up north, and they brag about the capacity, but if you walk into that school, you walk into that stadium, it's like a hole in the ground, and it's just like seats going up. That's what the Rose Bowl is like, too.
Yes.
Like, the... Like, what's different about Ohio Stadium is it's got two decks, and the outside, like, looks like something out of, like, Gladiator.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, so I'm with you.
Awesome.
Are you surprised? I don't want to talk NFL with you, but are you surprised that Ohio State has risen to superpower status in college football? You've always been good, but you haven't been a top four program for the last 50 years.
Not really. I just think the resources there. And this is, like, honestly, like, why everybody says, like, Texas is back.
Yeah.
Because the resources at Texas and Ohio State, this is one of the things you learn going to school there. There's more students than any other school. There's a bigger alumni base than any other school. It's just, like, everything, like, every advantage you would want is there. Great state for football. Like, that's part of both schools. And so, you know, I think, like, when I was in school there, John Cooper was the coach. Tressel took over middle of my junior year. Tressel made Ohio State like an annual national title contender, which they were under Cooper to some degree, and Urban just put jet fuel in it, you know, and like really, like, you look at the way they're recruiting now and everything
else.
And, I mean, the way that they've been able to kind of turn it over and keep with the times, and now Ryan Day's there, and they're able to get whatever quarterback they want, whatever receivers they want, it's... So I think it's a product of the resources and the coaches.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Albert Breer again is with us, and it's always
thanks
fun
for
to
letting
have,
me do that.
Yeah, of course. Albert Breer is with us. It's always fun to have national guys on the air because then you guys can give us your take on the Hawks. You can leave, and we can talk about how wrong you were. Right? These guys don't have any idea what the hell they're talking about.
No respect for the Seahawks.
This could be a team. Who knows that maybe C.J. Stroud is playing for next year?
Right.
Because this has got to be the worst quarterback situation right now in the NFL. At least one of them. I mean, give us your thoughts from 35,000 feet on Drew Lock and Geno Smith.
I'm trying to think, like, Carolina?
Yeah, Jets.
Okay. Well, the Jets, but they took the guy second overall.
Right.
So, like, he did not have a good rookie year, but there's promise there.
Yeah, Giants.
Like, I think that's what, like, the Panthers and the Seahawks sort of seem to be lacking right now is, like, you can – it's a lot easier to conjure a scenario where the second overall pick in the draft becomes the guy than it is like one of the guys in Carolina or one of the guys in Seattle. And that's not saying they can't be a competent starting quarterback. It's just the investment in the position. So, you know, look, I think, you know, what this is on paper is probably what it winds up being, which is like you hope one of the guys is good enough to hold you over and make you competitive in the, for the time being, while you wait for the right opportunity to go and make a massive move to get your franchise quarterback. And the good news is that there does look like there's the promise that that could come, you know, next year, like the draft next year. And look, there's no Trevor Lawrence, right? Like there's nobody that we know is going to be a high first round pick, but there are guys that have promise, right? Like, so C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Tyler Van Dyke at Miami, Will Levis at Kentucky. There are some names there of some guys that could develop into that. And I say that with the caveat that we were all talking about Spencer Rattler.
Like this way a year ago. Right.
And the guy wasn't starting in October. By October, the guy wasn't the starter anymore, and now he's in South Carolina. So that's sort of how I see it, is that, like, you hope that, you know, they're – your hold the fort. You hope one of those two becomes your hold the fort guy, and anything beyond that's a bonus.
Albert Breer joining us. What do you think of the rest of this roster? Take out the quarterback position for a second.
You know, I think that there's reason for optimism on the young players. And, like, everything I've heard about the two young tackles, about a couple of the young corners, you know, the young pass rusher, Mafe, like, I think there's at least some reason to think. And, you know, Pete told me after practice this is his fastest roster. And I think there's, like, reason to hope that, like, realistically, that the team ascends over the course of the year, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they're going to win 11 or 12 games, but I do know, like, the people in this building think, like, last year was an aberration because of circumstances and everything going on with Russell and the injuries and everything else. And, you know, like, the way I look at it is they're one of these teams, and there are a few of them every year, where it's like you don't judge them solely on wins and losses. You judge them on what the team looks like in November, December versus what it looked like in September. And if it looks like guys like Charles Cross and Abe Lucas and Kobe Bryant and you know, and Jordan Brooks, like, if it looks like, you know, Boye Mafe, I can go on, but there are a lot of, like, young players that have ability here. If it looks like that group of players, Kenneth Walker is ascending, Cody Barton, like, you can keep naming them. If it looks like that group of players is ascending into something more, then I think that you've had a successful year.
Right. Well, Albert Breer is with us, and Mike Holmgren does a weekly show with us during the season. And he's been telling us that he would have just kept Wilson. Hey, you want out? So what? You're staying here. You're under contract. Is that even remotely anything that you would have thought about doing if you were the Seahawks?
It feels to me like that thing was broken. It just does. And I, like, no one's directly told me that, but, you know, like, at least the people who are intimately involved have not told me that. But it felt like to me, I mean, I said it, like, midway through the year last year. You know, it felt like the beginning of the divorce was January 2021. Hmm. And if he had all of these issues coming off of a 12-win season, realistically, even when people were saying at the end of last year, oh, you know, they're going to keep him, whatever, I never believed that. Because it was like, if this guy had all of these issues coming off of a 12-win season, what's he going to be like coming off of a 6-win season?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I do think, like, the point of the contract, too, like, you had 2 years left, so that meant that that added some value to who he was as a trade asset. And so I just feel like it was time all the way around. And, you know, look, like, we'll see what he becomes in Denver, you know? He says he wants to play till he's 45. We'll see, you know? Like, I have my doubts that it would have gone better this year. And I do think, like, the fact that you're coming out of the draft now with, like, a guy who could be a bona fide, like, 10-year left tackle, a guy who some people thought was the best player in the draft, not the best tackle, the best player in the draft. If he becomes that, like, what, I'm not going to say he's going to be Walter Jones, but if he becomes, like, the answer for a decade, well, then I think you've done okay for giving up maybe what would have been an extra awkward year with a quarterback.
Do you think that Russ has just 1 year of a window, and then that contract that Denver has to give him is going to kick in, and it just won't end up working?
I'm not saying he has a 1 year window in Denver. I'm saying, like, I don't think he was re-signing here.
Yeah.
So
right.
Like, I'm saying, like, you had a 1 year window maybe to keep him.
The Hawks have said that. Schneider has said that.
Yeah. I mean, I think
he didn't think he could get him back.
I think you have a 1 year window to keep him, and I think at that point you're asking yourself, what's more valuable to me, his trade value, moving on, having the chance to reset, or one more year of Russell Wilson? And I don't think that they were close enough to a championship where they were, like, going into this offseason to justify saying, let's hold it over and have the awkward year with Russell.
Well, Albert Breer is with us. Give us your take on the Deshaun Watson story, because Goodell's out for blood. You know, we've heard reports, I think maybe even from you, that they're looking for a full year of suspensions, which would mean he's out for two full seasons.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they game all of this, because I do think they want to avoid court, and I do think that there are a fair amount of owners that want the NFL out of this business of being their own arm of the FBI. You know what I mean? Like, because they've just stepped in it so many times and messed so many of these up. And that's part of the reason why they were amenable to negotiating this process with the union, right? Was because there were owners, Jerry Jones is prominent among them, where, like, they were saying, what are we doing? like, why are we setting ourselves up? Why don't we just outsource this? Like, why are we setting ourselves up to look like idiots? This is no win, you know?
Yeah.
I think Jerry, to some degree, was right. And so I think that's part of the reason why, like, they outsourced the first phase of the process. And then when Roger had the choice to take the decision and put the NFL stamp on it like he could have, he chose not to. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how much further they're willing to go past six games and how they thread that needle, which is, how do you, A, look like you're being tough and look like you're giving what he's accused of and now what Sue Robinson found him responsible for the sort of punishment it deserves?
Yeah.
And B, staying out of court. And that's tough because some people would say anything less than a year isn't good enough. And if you go to a year, you're going to court. So to me, the sweet spot there would be 10, 12 games. I do think, like, Deshaun's camp might say, you know what, like, let's just be done with this.
Yep.
If it's a year, well, then I think you're ending up in federal court.
Yeah. Albert, are franchises looking at what the Rams did last year as, ooh, that's dangerous. Jaquiski yeah. Tartt intercepts that ball that he should have had, and we're not even talking about a Rams team that made the Super Bowl despite going in all in. Or they're like, hey, it worked, and that's going to be the trend for the next few years, just to push all your chips in, be damned with the salary cap 3 years down the road.
Isn't that what it always is, though? I mean, like, what if Pat Mahomes doesn't, like, escape Nick Bosa and find Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What if, I mean, like,
what
it's
if
just,
Sherman doesn't tip that pass going to Crabtree?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, would we look at the Chiefs differently if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't put the ball 2 feet over Emmanuel Sanders' head? Hell yeah, we'd be looking at the Chiefs differently. We've been four AFC title games and two Super Bowls and no wins.
Yeah.
We would be looking at them a lot differently right now. So I think that element always exists. But I would say that there is a little bit of what the Rams are doing that's unique, I think, from a couple different standpoints. Number one, they're able to get discounts in part because they're in Los Angeles and players want to be there, and Sean McVay can put stars together and meld them. It was funny. I was talking to him over the summer about this, and he was telling me how he, you know, reread Phil Jackson's book. I said to him, you know what's so interesting about that? Is like, one of your strengths is just like Phil Jackson's, is that, like, the ability to manage egos and meld people together. And so I think what the Rams have done is pretty unique to their own situation. But, like, I do think that the flip side of that is teams have taken a harder look at the value of draft picks.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what this is. Like, the explosion of big ticket trades where teams are willing to part with multiple first round picks for players, and we've seen it going back to, I think, the turning point. I wrote about this once, but I think the turning point was like 2017. Is as much about the valuation of draft picks, the way the teams value that capital, you know, as much as it is about what, you know, some other team down the street is doing. So, you know, I think that you know, that's analytics, that's seeing, like, results, that's, like, you know, taking a hard look at, like, what does this first round pick really mean? And, you know, I think you can see it. Like, look, like the first round pick that the Lions gave up, or the Lions got from the Rams for Matthew Stafford, what did it become?
Yeah.
They had to package it with, like, three other picks to move up to get Jameson Williams. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's, I think that that's what it is. It's like the valuation of draft picks as much as it is the environment in the league. And I think it's also, like, younger GMs that are which is part of it, thinking this way.
No doubt. Albert, great stuff, man. I appreciate you coming over. I had a little panic there because I heard Albert come up to you about 4 hours ago and said, hey, are you softy? And I looked on Twitter. Did I go after this guy at some point? Should I hide and run out of here?
So, I didn't know if I should tell him where you were.
Exactly. Well, thank you.
I just needed some space to do a live
chat. He just needed some room. Thanks for doing this, man. Appreciate
it, guys.
Fly safe back home, buddy. Albert Breer with us on the show. We're going to break. Textimonials 49451. Tell them or do text line. And then Jerry DePoto, GM of your Seattle Mariners. Yes.
To the Seattle?
Thank you.
Mariners.
Well, join us at 5:30 coming up on Softy and Dick on 93.3 KJR FM.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win?
Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.